Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, February 3rd. I'm on with the 2 p.m. group. I have Donna and Mia with us so far. And let me start with a quick check-in and see how things have been going. Who wants to go first?
I can go. I don't really have much update other than, you know, it was just, I guess, the usual normal week for us. I guess it's not as stressful as last week. I would say that this week was more like a fun week for us. You know, there were still struggles, but there were more, I guess, laughing between me and my son rather than yelling or crying. So it was not highly, you know, highly different, but it was less stressful, I would say.
So what do you think was different?
I'm not really sure. Maybe I was trying to be more conscious as well myself. But yeah, it just seemed to be less difficult this week. So I hope the next week will be the same, if not better.
Well, so I would encourage you to continue to celebrate that it went well and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, pay attention when you notice, you know, what's different and keep up with the good work.
Yeah.
Because my guess is, Donna, that you're doing something different and it may be so subtle you don't even realize you're doing it.
Yeah, maybe. I have to do a retrospective on what was different. Yeah, probably trying to get more control over our nighttime routine, I would say. I've added a lot of, like, alerts on his iPad because iPad is, like, part of his body almost. So, you know, I noticed last night because I had an alert there, like, by 8 o'clock that iPad has to be turned into mom, although that is something that we have agreed on verbally. You know, he just did it himself. So I was, like, surprised that he did that because I usually had to pull it away from him. So I guess
awesome.
That was a small positive thing. I hope that he keeps up with that.
Awesome. That's great. I know that feels good to have him taking on a little bit of it himself, even if it feels like it's just a small step. It's got to feel good to see some progress. Awesome. It looked like somebody else joined us for a minute, but now they're gone again. So, Mia, what's going on for you guys?
It's been kind of an interesting week. I joined also one of the emergency calls. It's not an emergency call. It was the ad hoc calls that were running.
The lifeline.
Thank
call.
You.
Right.
Yes. So, and in that, in addition, I'm still working on the curiosity from a couple weeks ago and then asking for help, and I combined them. I'm realizing that, I truly believe I may have ADHD too, and I might have trapped myself in a disastrous sort of confluence of events with these things and being overly ambitious. But I decided to, on the upside, the lifeline call, I asked for some ideas about working with the school for the remainder of the year because we're moving my daughter to a new school next year that specializes in kids with ADHD and dyslexia. So it's going to be in a different environment, which we think will be a better fit. And I was out of ideas for trying to come up with a way for the school to help my daughter to have a win at school every day. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. And the comment was, don't see this as a challenge. Reframe it as go in with, of course, we all want this year to basically do no harm to this child who's going elsewhere next year. So what can we do to not extinguish her curiosity, et cetera? And so that conversation went really well with her teacher, and it's still slow going, but because they see the absence of demerits as a reward, which, anyway, there's so much there that's hard to process. But I also went ahead and met with the principal to just be open and share the news that we're leaving our parochial school next year. So everybody knows and is on the same page and can be aligned in terms of what we're doing for Sophia for the remainder of the year. And our principal said to me, well, I was reached out to by the new school that you're going to, and I'm happy to go tour it because we want to be the school that kids come back to after they graduate from the school that you're going to, because kids who, you know, their goal is to graduate children who are then able to be placed in more typical school settings after a couple of years. And so I was so excited to hear that, and it reinforced all the work I've been doing around talking with the faculty and all those things. And the next day, our principal announced she's retiring. So I was like, oh, okay. So the leadership of the school was in doubt of where we were hoping to come back to. So it was kind of a downer week. And then my daughter got the flu. So we've been sick. But in the middle of all that, before she got the flu, I was curious about her homework challenges and decided that she was too distracted because we did our homework at the dining room table. And so we needed to sort out her bedroom and get her a desk. And I had this great plan to combine my sort out her bedroom and ask for help and get my husband to help me organize her room and get her a loft bed at IKEA. And now our whole house is destroyed because the contents of her bedroom are in the rest of the house. My husband is helping me by staying home with her sick. And I have confidence that we will emerge from this, that he's going on a business trip all week next week. So it's going to be a long month of February.
So it's a hard transition when you've got a project started. You know you intend to finish it. You don't see an easy way to finish it, and it's kind of hanging there. And so you're living among chaos. It's got to be a little frustrating, I imagine.
Yeah, and but we're like Donna, you said, we're trying to stick to our routine, stick to the basics in the midst of the chaos. So I mean, from a kid perspective, it's been decent, but from a life perspective, it's been kind of up and down in terms of what's surrounding. Trying to make some bigger progress. So, you know, I'm not going to the adults are healthy. So,
So it sounds like today's topic might be a good one for you. I can't wait to see where you go with it, Mia.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at it going, ooh, this could be really good for me this week. Yes.
So, April, hi.
Oh. Hi.
Are you there?
Yep.
So glad you're with us. Yeah, I can. How are things been going? You want to do a quick check-in? We've got Mia and Donna with us as well.
I've been working on dinners, and we've been getting it on the table most days, so that's a success. I got a hug going out the door this morning, and he told me he loved me. That hasn't happened in a while, so yay for that. I've been trying to be curious and ask him why he's doing certain things instead of just eating him for lunch if he does something crazy. But we did get lice last week.
I'm so sorry.
But school, we've gotten some things at school that have been going okay too. We've talked to them and had some meetings with school, and they seem to be being receptive and giving us a few things that we've been asking for.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, can I offer you a slight reframe on the curiosity?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I said this last time, but I know that sometimes the word why comes off as making somebody feel defensive. And so I don't know whether you're specifically asking him why he's doing things, but it's like, if you can just say, wow, that was really interesting. What do you think was going on for you? Or, you know, what was that all about? You know, and instead of, you know, because so you want to be careful that he doesn't feel like you're accusing him of something. And sometimes that word why can be a trigger for folks. It may not be for him.
That's a good idea. I mean, sometimes he's been okay with that. Sometimes he's not. And I'm sure I can say why that way at times.
Well, and the reality is that he may not know why. I mean, I think that that's the question. Is our kids developmentally may not realize we had a conversation at noon today about lying. And, you know, they may not understand even why it's hard for their brains to remember the truth or tell the truth or whatever it is. And so if you ask them why, they'll, you know, they might feel put on the spot and make up an answer, or they might, you know, they might get frustrated. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that could come out of that. And so sometimes when we get curious, we have to do the brainstorming ourselves and say, okay, what are three different things that could be going on, even if he doesn't know what's going on? Does that make sense, April?
Yeah, totally. Thanks.
Yeah. So where is everybody going to take aim today? Should we go back to Mia? Can we go back to you?
I think I need to come up with a very short list of things to do. I'm struggling right now because there's so many things swirling around me, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to take aim. It might just be morning
routine.
It's
hard because you've got stuff going on. The house is off balance. You've got the situation at school where you're trying to come up with a win every day. You've got your husband out of town next week. I'm wondering whether there's something around him being gone that you can take aim on. You know, what's your intention for how to get through things while he's not around?
I'm sorry. I'm really struggling today. I'm trying to do all of my laundry this weekend and pre-cook some meals so that we can have dinner at the table and not in the car next mm-hmm. week. That sounded like a fabulous win for me for a whole week. But I don't know.
You may have
to come back to me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so what I want to challenge you to do is to think about what you want to feel like when he gets home. I mean, do you want, you know, when he comes in the door, do you want to go, oh, my gosh, we did great. We had some struggles, but things were fine. Do you want it to go, oh, my gosh, I'm leaving next week. You're in charge. Do you want to feel like, you know, what is it that you want to feel like? And then let's talk about what might need to be different to help you to get there. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think the feeling I want to have is, hey, we survived. I don't
yep.
want to have an expectation that it was great because it probably won't be. But we survived, and to get there, I think I need to lower my expectations for everything running according to plan. We're not going to be back to normal before Sunday. So just define the bare minimum and do that. So.
Well, and so I would encourage you to, I'm going to reframe for you too. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you say lowering expectations, it makes it sound like you're settling or you're compromising it's something that's not wanted. And then what you're doing is you're really trying to set realistic expectations, which is just it's really more of a shift than a lowering. Is that
right? It's being rational.
Because it doesn't sound like it's realistic to have an expectation that
it's not.
Gonna be able to
I
get
have to
that.
Sleep. Yeah, I have to sleep 8 hours a night or else I can't be in a good place. So I need to be realistic about taking care of myself first and so that I can have the emotional resources to manage everything else that has to be done. So
you're taking aim on surviving the time with your husband gone, maybe even with a smile on your face sometimes, and to manage your expectations so that you can take care of yourself and have it come out as best as possible, right?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Donna, what about you? Where are you taking aim?
Hi. I feel like I'm taking aim on the very same things all the time. But maybe to be more specific, I'll just stick with a bedtime routine because I feel that that's the one that I'm seeing a bit more improvement, and I just want to, you know, have it near, you know, in a more consistent manner. So, like, for example, I want to make sure that he's really in bed by 9 o'clock. And we've been able to do that for the past 3 or so nights. So I guess wanted to make sure that we are able to stick to that. At least for one whole week. If I'm able to stick to it for a whole week, I'd feel successful.
Okay, so your goal is to have him in bed at 9, right?
In bed at 9, and everything's been ready. So far, he's been good. 8 o'clock, he tries to get in the shower by 8 o'clock. You know, I have the timer with him. He takes it to the bathroom. I give him 10 minutes. To do a shower and do, you know, brushing his teeth. So he's been able to beat the clock so far. So I just wanted to make sure that that gets consistent and that becomes like a part of him. Sometimes I have to remind him he has to do that, or sometimes I have to remind him.
So it sounds like it's more than just in bed by 9. There's several, I mean, it's really kind of the whole evening routine, and I'm wondering whether it's realistic to really tackle it all. Does it feel like a big thing to tackle together, or should we split it up, Donna?
Well, because, on our schedule, he needs to be free of electronics by 8 because he needs to go to the bathroom right away and do his shower and bathroom. But sometimes he's not able to do that exactly 8, just 8:10, 8:15. But I always give him just 10 minutes to do his shower and the brushing of the teeth. So, if he can squeeze it all in, you know, between 8 and 8:30, that would be great. But, you know, because he always has these other things that stalls him. He takes a shower. He towel dries himself. Sometimes dances in front of the mirror naked, just being silly. But I wanted to make sure that he is definitely ready to sleep, relaxed, you know, by 9 o'clock.
So, Donna, again, I mean, I just am listening to you, and I'm like, is it, how realistic of an expectation is it that he can do all that in 30 minutes?
It's really just a shower, getting ready for bed, dressing up in his pajamas, and being in bed. So, effectively, that's like a whole hour.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, that's why I'm asking, because it's like the kids that I work with and the kids that I live with, that feels more mm-hmm. like a longer period of time than 30 minutes. So I just want to make sure you're setting yourself up for success to try to crunch it into 30 minutes. But so is your goal that he gets done by 9, or is your goal that you come up with a bedtime routine that is manageable and gets him enough sleep and gets everything done?
Well, if everything is done by 9, you know, he's just really ready to sleep by 9, that would be fine. So if all of that is done between 8 and 9, you know, all the preparation is done between 8 and 9, that would be you know, good enough for
okay.
me. Mm-hmm.
All right, good. All right, April, where are you going to take aim?
Well, I am actually, I need to get up earlier. So, and it might sound silly, but I'm a morning person, but I have a warm-up period before I really want to deal with other people. So mm-hmm. My husband is chuckling here. I really need to get up 30 minutes before the kids, and it just goes a lot smoother for me and for them if I get up early and I, you know, putter around for a little bit and do that. And
okay, so
every morning.
Yeah, so that feels like a strategy. Let's get clear on that. Maybe the right strategy to apply to the challenge, but what's your challenge that you're trying to resolve?
I was getting triggered in the morning and not being very nice, and then okay. thereby making a domino effect.
Okay, so you really want to help, you want to focus on managing your own triggers in the morning.
Yep.
Great. Can you see that subtle shift? A lot of times we go to, okay, I'm going to start doing this, which is a strategy, but it's important to take this step back and say, okay, what am I solving? What's my challenge? Because you may come up with another idea beyond the getting up early that might support you in managing your triggers in the morning.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, great. Let me just double check and make sure it doesn't look like anybody else has joined us. Awesome. So today's topic is on page 40 of the workbook, and it's putting your oxygen mask on first. And, you know, this is one of those things that I think Elaine and I have been talking about since the first day that we, you know, started even envisioning what Impact ADHD was all about, because it's so easy as parents, particularly parents of complex kids like we are, to spend all of our time and our energy taking care of our kids and helping our kids and organizing our kids and doing for our kids and helping our kids do for themselves and getting frustrated when they don't. And, you know, we have a lot of energy put into our kids. And it's easy to get kind of caught up in that. And this phrase, put your oxygen mask on first, is one that I think we hear a lot, but I think it's easy to forget. And I was telling the noon group today, I still remember the first time I got on an airplane after I had kids. And because you don't notice this whole oxygen mask first thing when you don't have kids usually. And my son was 2 months old and we were on the plane and the flight attendant was explaining what to do. And I was sitting there with this baby in my arms and I'm thinking, okay, what would I do? I was like, I know what I would do if it was just me. It's like, what would I do if it was him? And listening and, you know, I probably even pulled out the little thing out of the pocket of the airplane and went, well, what do I do with an infant? But, you know, it was one of those moments where she said, you put your own oxygen mask on first. And I'm like, what do you mean? I've got to save my kid. And, you know, I certainly would, I'm one of those people that I would always put myself after my kids. And I, you know, I would go to bat for my kids no matter what. And And I realized kind of in that, I was like, well, why would they have you do that? And the reality is that if you're passed out on the floor of the airplane, you can't do anything to help your kid. And the same thing is true in life. If you're passed out on the floor, whether it's because you're taken on too much, or whether you're overwhelmed, or whether you're triggered, or whether you're frustrated, or whether you're exhausted or hungry or whatever it is, if you're in a position where you're not able to parent fully or parent at your best, you're not serving you or your family well. And it's so important to remember that sometimes you got to just stop and put your oxygen mask on. And there's lots of great examples. I'm sure you guys have examples of this as well. The simple one that I was thinking of the other day, I've got two snarky teenagers in my house, and they were particularly at each other's throats the other day. And I had had a really long, busy day, and I was really exhausted and hungry. And made dinner. They all got their plates. They were sitting down to dinner, and I looked at them, and I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm going to go up to eat upstairs. And I went upstairs. I took my plate. I closed my door. I turned on a show that I like to watch, and I just sat and enjoyed myself because I knew that if I'd sit at the table, they'd be, you know, they were in a bad mood, I was in a bad mood, and it definitely would help all three of us if I took myself out of the situation. So sometimes it's about not doing things, sometimes it's about doing things, but it's really important to remember to put ourselves first. And then the other thing that's important about it, I think that we lose track of, we talked a little bit about this with them asking for help, is what a model it is for our kids. And our kids don't learn automatically that they need to take care of themselves. And, you know, one of the moms on the noon call was saying, she goes to the gym, she goes for a walk, she does all that, she goes out to lunch with her friends, but her kids don't see her do it. And so they don't have a sense of what she's even doing to take care of herself. And it's really important that we, number one, set the standard for our kids so that they can see that taking care of yourself is important, but that we do it in a way that honors who everybody is independently. So it's about, you know, helping them to think creatively about what it would, what they need to take care of themselves, and giving you the space to do it as well. So that's a little bit about oxygen mask. What comes up for the three of you guys as I share that information?
Well, I think one of the things that I really enjoy and I forget to do at times is, you know, some days if the laundry didn't get folded, go read a book. Or just, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal. And sometimes that really helps me recharge for weeks.
So you've got one tool in your toolkit, April, that you can call on, which is if you can go and just relax and read and let go of a chore. It'll help you to feel revitalized.
Yep.
Love that. Donna, Mia, what comes up for you guys?
I guess part of me says I wholeheartedly believe it, but like everything else is easier said than done. Reading is also my escape, and I felt a huge amount of guilt to that, raising a dyslexic child for the longest time. And finally I was like, you know what, the fact that reading is hard for her, it doesn't change that reading is my joy, and no harm, no foul her seeing me read, because I'll also read to her. So I kind of claimed it back, which was a big win for me. And now whenever I'm upset, the kids will shove the newspaper under the bedroom door or something, because they know I really like to read the paper. So for mommy to come out.
That's awesome.
I don't know how I feel about this, but I'm going to say that they're being emotionally sensitive.
No, I think that's great. They know what you enjoy. They're trying to give you a gift.
That or they ask me if I need some wine. So that's the other embarrassing thing they offer. We're being recorded. But the other thing that I struggle with, though, is I talk a good game about needing to go to the gym. And so I was talking to my daughter about how I need to exercise in order to stay healthy and these things. And so to do that, you need to go to aftercare. 3 days a week for half an hour. to make that work. And as soon as she's like, but I don't like aftercare, that, you know, I get very upset at aftercare, I immediately backed off. Mm. So it's, how do I stick to it in the face of making things less pleasant for my children?
Right. So, yeah, so how could you engage her in the process of helping you figure out how to take care of yourself and also not make it, you know, make it difficult for her? Is that a conversation the two of you guys could have?
We tried, yes. So it's unfortunately, it's pretty constrained because I work full-time, and so there's only certain times there's the classes at the gym that I can take in the pool for low impact. So there's a lot of constraints. Which my daughter, she's a little young to understand schedule constraints still. So,
right.
The suggestion was I should get up at 5 a.m. and go before she wakes up, which is a lovely suggestion if I didn't really like to sleep a lot. So we're working on it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm wondering whether it's something that she could, you know, you could encourage her to try. And put a time stamp on it and say, okay, mommy really wants to try to do this. We've tried to come up with another idea, and I can't think of one. Let's try it for 2 weeks and see how it goes.
Right. Kind of like a try it for 5 minutes, and if you still hate it, we'll leave, but a little longer.
Right. Exactly. And see, that's the thing, is that you're finding a way to honor your needs and honor hers. And, you know, we don't want to force our kids to do stuff that's terrible for them. And at the same time, sometimes they need a little stretch, and it's about figuring out what the right way to stretch them is. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I just need to be stronger and not backing down immediately.
Yeah. So. Donna, anything come up for you as we're talking about oxygen masks?
Yeah, so it's really more like self-care and making sure you take care of yourself, right? So I guess I like the two other moms. I have more luxury of time for myself because I'm currently not working. So, you know, I have been able to, you know, I guess for the past at least 3-4 months, I've been able to put more time to myself while my child is at school. So that gives me a huge amount of relief. So I'm able to attend like maybe at least some Pilates class or do some home video exercise. A monthly manicure pedicure has become a routine for me the past 3 months at least. So I try to accommodate these things to make sure that I take care of myself, because, you know, I look back 5 years ago, looking back at old pictures, I actually barely have any pictures, because I didn't want to get, you know, pictures of myself taken because I look so haggard, so stressed, and much bigger than I am. So thankfully, I've had that opportunity to, you know, do some more self-care. And thankfully, my son is also supportive of that because he likes that I am not in the house. Because when I'm not in the house, he takes advantage of that time to, you know, to use his electronics and his, I guess, uses play with his video games. But on days, especially on weekends, are a challenge because I don't want to really leave him playing video games the whole time. So, you know, with the virtue of me living in Southern California where it's warmer, so we're able to at least enjoy some time at the park. You know, one weekend ago we went to the beach. So I guess I try to incorporate my own physical activity with playing with him. I'm still able to get him out of the house.
Well, and that was going to be my question, Donna, actually, is, you know, what is, since you're off, you know, you've got this routine that you've got set up when he's off during the day, what are you doing to support him, or what would self-care, what would putting his oxygen mask on first look like for him? And what refreshes him?
You know, I guess the novelty of just doing something different, you know, maybe visiting a place that he hasn't been to, or sometimes visiting other friends that he likes to play with, you know, friends outside of the school setting.
it's not always that we could do that, but, you know, something that's changed is something that he would enjoy as well, like, you know, having outdoor playtime. And the strange thing is, you know, he likes electronic a lot. He could stay indoors for the whole weekend, and I'm trying to avoid that. So even though I'm not really an athletic person, I try to, you know, have a football play with him at the park, stuff like that. If it's not known to everybody, I'm a single mom, so I have him most of the time. He's got notes about his condition, but he's not really actively engaged. So it's really, a lot of the work is really on me to do all the, you know, the engage him in physical activity and then, you know, being the nurturing mom.
Yeah, yeah. So. What's laughing is I'm laughing because, I, you know, as I was asking you the question, I was asking myself the same question. It's like, okay, what do I think about for my kids? And one of the things that both of my kids love to do is they love to stay in the shower. And it was making me laugh because you were saying that you're, like, trying to get your son out of the shower. And like, what did you say, like 10 minutes? And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, my kids, the last time my kids took a shower that was less than 30 minutes was, like, I don't even know, because they both love the shower. It's something that refreshes them. It makes them feel good. It helps them to relax at night. Or helps them ease into their morning, depending on, you know, whether they take a shower at night or in the morning, which is something like that. And for me personally, I love being in the shower, and I love the water, and it feels so good and refreshing. Sometimes it's just simple stuff like that, that if you notice it, that they, you know, they like to play. I mean, I don't know if your kids played in the bathtub when they were little, but something about finding little things like that can make the difference, too.
I think also respecting, though, their need to refresh and take care of themselves, too. I find myself, my kids, although they're older, they like the bath still with bubbles. And
yeah.
I'll admit, when they're having a bad day, I'll say, hey, let's take a bath.
Just
go. Because you're quiet in the bubbles, and I can read a magazine, and that makes me happy. So it's kind of a win-win for both of us. But I find that sometimes my kids will say to me, I need a break, or I need to take a minute, and I have to fight a part of me that says, no, you have to do what I want you to do right now, because we, you know, whatever else is going on, and I struggle with that, I guess, instant
reaction.
Well,
I hear the thing. I mean, it's instant reaction, so it's probably, it's one of those things where you know that there's part of you that wonders if they're doing it as an avoidance technique, but there's some
right.
part of them that really needs the space, and so how could you honor their desire for space and hold them accountable? Yeah.
The way I've been doing it is say, take 5 minutes, do what you need to do, and then we're going to come back and finish. It's usually homework. And we're gonna finish this before, when you finish this, then we're going to go do something that's hopefully more appealing than whatever their break activity is. Doesn't always work, but sometimes it does. So, but I do think they just get to a point where they just need a break. It's too much. And rather than scream or have a fit, you know, it's a better choice to go to your room and breathe for a few minutes. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's true for most of us, is that our brain has capacity. So it's kind of like whether it's a 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever it is that we think we can sustain, it's really important to notice when are we getting emotionally and mentally fatigued, and it's the same thing for our kids, is to begin to notice when are they getting emotionally or mentally fatigued and say, hey, why don't we take a break? Or, you know, either when a conversation is getting intense or when they're busy doing homework or something that's more mind-consuming. So that's a great reminder. Thanks. Yeah. All right. Anything else around oxygen masks?
And I am going back to the shower issue. since you mentioned your kids take 30 minutes in the shower, as much as, you know, for my boy, it's so difficult to get him the shower, but once he's there, it's so hard to get him out. So that's why the timer is there, because he needs to just to basically get him out of the shower once he started, right in time before, you know, he spends up to half an hour on there. But But yeah, I guess that's something that relaxes my son, and I should make sure that I remember that. And one thing too that he likes is being in a jacuzzi. Yeah, so we don't have a jacuzzi, but I just recall it from one, you know, from like at least the last summer, or you know, when we go to other resorts that have a jacuzzi, that's the one place that he needs to be in. So I guess it's something about the heat and the bubbles.
Yeah, well, so Donna, how, going back to the shower, how well does the timer actually work for him?
So far, the last two or three nights, he's been beating the clock, because he knows that he has to beat it. But at least on weekends, you know, I'm not really very strict on him being beating the 10 minutes.
So what you're using practically is you're using competition as a motivator for him. So you've tapped into the part of him that's competitive and said, okay, I want you to beat this timer and get out of the shower before the timer goes off.
Right.
And I think that it's good to know that that's explicitly what you're doing and to begin to pay attention to it, because competition is a great motivator sometimes, but sometimes not. And so just begin to notice when
right.
it is and isn't. And so like with my kids, when they go into the shower, they completely shut off. And so they don't even realize that a timer would be going. And so what they need is a different kind of transition tool, like maybe a 5-minute reminder. You know, so it's like, hey, you got 5 minutes, or hey, you got 10 minutes, you got 5 minutes, you got 2 minutes. You know, so it's just about paying attention to what the right structure is to support
mm-hmm.
him in getting out. And it sounds
right.
like competition is working now, and I hope that it can.
Now, yes. Right, now, yes. But we don't know how, you know, if the novelty dies, I need to be more creative, or, you know, what will work for him. Because it could be exciting now. He knows he's being successful, but, you know, I can acknowledge it will not have to be the case all the time.
Yeah. So, April, I'm curious, as you're thinking about your triggers in the morning, is there anything else besides the getting up early that kind of resonates with you in terms of putting your oxygen mask on?
Well, exercising would help. I get up. But getting up early already is about somewhere between 5:30 and 5:45, so I don't know. I might just have to fit exercise in someplace else, because if I get up and I prepare a little bit ahead of time, because I have the baby who has to eat, and if I have his breakfast like ready, then I'm not listening to him scream while everyone else is trying to talk to me. So it's, and I don't mind getting up and prepping stuff. I just am happier to prep it and get it done if I'm not trying to think of like 400 other things at the same time.
Right. It sounds like what you really mostly need is mental space without any other demands besides what you're putting on yourself. Is that right?
Yep.
So where else during your day would that be helpful?
Oh, gosh. Right before homework time, but I don't think that's possible.
Well, so I would call that a limiting belief, April. Is that fair?
Yeah, I guess we've kind of done that a little bit because we have a 23-minute drive from school. So we've actually done books on tape, like Aragon we're doing right now, and that seems to have calmed the car ride home. And, you know, we all talk for a few minutes, but it seems like it kind of gives us a little bit of downtime before we need to get to it. It works probably about 80% of the time, not every day.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because I think it's really clear as you describe it that what you really need is a time during the day, and it sounds like in the morning particularly, where there's nobody else asking anything of you other than what you're deciding you want to do on your own.
You know, one other thing that I've been trying to do is there are times I have some other volunteer positions where I've actually, because sometimes it's not just my kids or our household needs, it's other people wanting other things, and there's times I just need to not hear from them. So I try to put on the do not disturb on my phone or turn off the email on my phone if I need to accomplish things that I need to get done.
Love that. How would that help you?
Well, I get things done in my priority order, not other people.
Well, and I think that that's great, April. I think I've been pushing on this a little bit because I think that that's a great theme, is that part of putting your oxygen mask on first is that making sure that things that you're doing are of priority to you. Because even if you're continuing to do, you know, it may not be about going and laying in the jacuzzi and doing nothing. It may just be about being in charge of your own time instead of having somebody else dictate to you for some portion of the day. Because, like I said at the beginning, so much of our emotional and mental energy is spent supporting our kids. It doesn't feel like it's something we're choosing to do. It feels like something we have to do. And if you're in charge of your priorities, you may still do the same stuff, but it's stuff you're choosing to do instead of feeling like you're reacting to somebody else's demands. Does that resonate with anybody else?
It does. I think the freedom of choice of what you're going to do next is a really powerful thing. I think when I feel most frustrated is when I'm very constrained with what has to happen. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the reality is we always have a choice of how we're going to view a situation. That's the good news. Is that in every situation, there is always a choice. It may not feel like it sometimes, but if you can get back to that and seeing the choice in any situation is such an empowering perspective. It can make such a difference. So I would encourage everybody to find the choice that they have in every situation. We've got a couple minutes. Is there anything that anybody needs some laser coaching around? Mia, how are you feeling about the situation with your husband being gone?
Oh, I hear him doing laundry outside on my office door, so that's making me feel better. Sorry.
So what are three things you can let go of this week?
You know, I was trying to think triage, because I triage at work a lot. I think we need clothes. We need clean clothes, because my anxious preschooler is very particular. So if he has his favorite pants for the whole week, that makes the whole week a lot better. If we have food, so that sounds really – we're not starving, but I've pre-made the muffin batter. But, you know, as much as I can prep ahead of time so that I can pull something out of the freezer and have a prepared meal that might have a vegetable or at least a fruit, that helps. And then I think, you know, my third is I think really just – clearing paths, so I need to go back upstairs and make sure we can reach our backpacks and our lunch boxes and everything that's out of its normal home, and just those things, and with that, just make sure I breathe first. So I think my oxygen mask will be to choose how I react and try to laugh more at the things that aren't going the typical way this week, and just call it a wacky week instead of our wacky Wednesday that we have every week, so...
Well, and so I guess I'm wondering, you know, so if you've got the clothes and you've got the food and you've got the past and you're laughing a little bit more, how would you score yourself on a scale of 0 to 10? Is that a 10? Is that a 5? Is that a 1?
Probably a 9. I mean, a 10 would be if I actually succeed in getting a fruit or vegetable every meal, which I'm not going to, I don't think.
Okay.
But I think that's a pretty good week. So it's just a matter of me shifting my point of view to being more realistic. So it's going to be a challenging work week too next week, so that's another layer. But just be more realistic and set down some of the things. I like to make progress and give myself stars for things I'm moving forward, and I'm not going to be able to move things forward next week. And that's okay, because it's just 1 week out of 52 this year. So
can I give you a vegetable tip?
Yes, please, any.
Okay, so cold carrots and frozen peas.
They eat them frozen?
Oh, yeah. My kids love frozen peas to this day. I mean, they're 14 and 15 years old, and it's like, what vegetable do you want? Frozen peas. And we just throw them on the plate.
I give them frozen blueberries, so that would be something different. We do a lot of clementines and apples and things. But okay,
yeah.
Good tip.
But and cold carrots are fun. You can always dip them in ranch or something a little bit healthier than ranch. But you know, it's just my kids. I cooked a bunch of broccoli on Sunday, and we just like I threw the container out of the refrigerator and onto the table, and we all ate cold broccoli cooked. You know, it's just.
I really think that's a burden I've assigned to myself. I mean, ideally they would eat fruits and vegetables, but honestly that's probably not the hill to die on
yeah.
most weeks. But it's just that's the persistent guilt point as a parent that I have. So.
Well, and it's probably, I mean, my guess is it's connected to a value for you. And I was raised, I mean, my mom took home ec class in college, and she was an education major. She's a taught for years. But she prided herself on really preparing great, well-balanced meals for us. And so it was a value that was passed down. And so I'm like, oh, of course I'm going to have my kids have vegetables. But now it's like, you know what? Spaghetti sauce is tomatoes. And that's
vegetable. I put extra fruit, baby food purees in my tomato sauce just to make myself feel better about spaghetti dinners with nothing but meatballs and apples. So, yeah, I don't, anyway. So, yes, I think I'm my own worst critic, and I need to take a break from doing that.
Well, and so the question is, again, what can you let go of for this week that's going to make it easier for you?
I am not going to mount the curtain rods to the ceiling and hang and hem the new draperies around my daughter's loft bed. I'm just going to not even attempt that.
Okay.
So that it's not hanging out there as a to-do.
All right. So what else are you going to let go of?
I think any more organizing in her room. She's got a desk. It's clear. She's got a pencil cup and a lamp on it. And I think that's good enough to do her homework this week. She doesn't need her construction paper color-coded. And yes. So rainbow
ties. What else are you going to let go of, me?
That's a great question. We might eat at Chick-fil-A a couple of nights since it's on the way home.
You know, they have this really great carrot salad at Chick-fil-A.
They stopped having that here. I know. I love that stuff.
So you might go out. You might allow yourself to go out to eat one night.
Yes.
Great. Okay. What else will you let go of?
I think I'm going to skip the brownie meeting I'm supposed to co-facilitate next week.
Okay. Great. Okay, that's four. One more thing. What else are you going to let go?
That's a great question. You know what? I think I'm not going to get my filing cabinet sorted in my office either, even though all the files are on the floor. I really went crazy with the organizing last week. So
the world will not end if it stays on the floor.
It won't.
No, week.
I can walk around it for another week. It's fine.
Okay. So here's the thing. It's like part of putting your oxygen mask on is getting explicit about what you will choose to not do.
Yeah, that was hard.
It was. I'm sure it was. and I can only imagine what it's like for you when you're used to having a co-parent. I mean, those of us who are single moms on the phone know it's like when you're used to having somebody to help you and suddenly you don't, it's a big deal.
I can't even imagine. I have huge respect for people who are single parenting.
We lock ourselves in our room and eat dinner by ourselves.
I wrote that down as something I might try. Yeah, now that my children aren't likely to stab themselves with their forks, that might be possible.
All right. So, great. Well, so let's do our wrap-up, everybody. You ready? I'm on page 41. So, four questions. What did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success? Write down a few notes, and I'd love to hear from all three of you.
Well, I think I really liked and appreciated for clarity you're helping me through the aim versus the strategy, because I kind of knew what I was doing by getting up early, but I hadn't
hadn't really thought about it, but it was really my triggers in the morning that that's what I was really doing. I just knew the day went better. But now I can really, really continue to build on that.
Awesome. Awesome. So,
Hey, Donna. I like your comment earlier, Diane, about when you asked me what helped my son refresh or reboot, because I guess I hadn't really given that much thought. So maybe I'll think of more, you know, other ways to help him out, to kind of have, you know, new other activities or other things that we can do that I can, that can help him. You know, if he's getting stressed at home or with me, kind of like a time out, but not meant as a punishment.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. What is that? So what does that translate? Is it just kind of paying attention to the what might refresh him, or is there some commitment to doing something differently, Donna? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I guess we could try to, you know, do things a little bit more in a fun way, you know, incorporate more humor. We were trying to do that a lot this week. So I guess I'll take advantage of that because my son is like a real comic. I keep telling him that maybe when he gets older, he's going to be a comedian. He can just, you know, whip up a joke out of the blue. So, and it seems to be, you know, I mean, our conversation goes on smoother when it's done in a more humorous way, you know. So just, I guess, continue to keep up with that flow.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. And you mentioned about the frozen peas. I hadn't tried that on my son. My son hates anything green. Since he likes chewing on ice, for I don't know what reason, I feel that I need to take him actually to an OT. He seems to have an oral stimulation issues. I'm taking note of that and see if that will work for him.
Awesome. Well, I hope it does. All right. One more. Who's left for checkout?
Oh, sorry. This is Mia. My clarity, we talked a lot about what's going on in my life and how it's too much. My takeaway, I really see as I'm really good at having to-do lists sorted 17 different ways. I need to have a what not to do list each week next to my to-do list. And I just need to prep for what my three targets are for the next week, just focus all of my energy on preparing what I need to get through the next week. And another action I thought about after we were talking through is I need to adjust my work calendar to hold realistic amounts of time for the different carpool events in my day so that that doesn't become another source of stress where I'm behind or missing meetings and things where people think I can be there, but I can't next week. So.
Awesome. Awesome. How does it feel? How do you feel?
The idea of a what not to do list is oddly exciting to me because I feel like if I could make that would put me more in control. It's not that I didn't get to it. It's that I chose not to do it today or this week. And I think that returns control to me and makes me feel less like a failure because I didn't get everything done because my lists are too long. So if I have to do and not to do, then I'm back, once again the captain of my destiny.
Yeah, the exercise, I don't know if any of you guys were at the National Chad Conference with us, but we did an exercise that was you have three columns. There's must do, maybe do, and never do. You know, so it's or don't do, however you want to phrase it. But it's you know, it's funny because I pulled out a notepad and it happens to be my maybe do list. And it's stuff that had been sitting on my to-do list for a long time. And I hadn't had the energy and it hadn't popped to the top. And it's like, how long has this list been sitting here and I haven't noticed that they weren't on my to-do list? Wow. That's kind of eye-opening that the world didn't end because I didn't do – there's at least 10 things on this list here.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I have a category in my Outlook at work that's someday maybe, is what I call it, and I snooze it. It snoozes for 2 weeks at a time. It's amazing the stuff that ends up on that list that I don't care about.
Right. But in the moment, it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to do this. This is so awesome, or this is so, I'm so necessary. So the love that you're giving yourself permission to clearly outline what you're choosing not to do. Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right, everybody. Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad to do it. So we are on, next week is the Lifeline call. So hopefully you guys can all join us. It's at noon on Tuesday or 8 o'clock on Thursday. There's two of them. And then we're off the week of the 17th. Elaine and I are going to be traveling that week. And then the 24th is our next group PSS call. So we will talk to you guys next week if you join us, if not on the 24th. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.